Previously on Heroes.
My life finally makes sense to me. In the last 6 weeks, I have saved 53 people.
You can do this. You can give life.
Did you get his ability?
Yeah.
It's time to take your life back, Emma.
I used my ability to push one man's memories into another man's head. And now his consciousness is rattling around up in here.
Someone's done something to you, polluted your mind somehow.
You would take me in here?
Knowing what I've done, knowing who I am?
We're family. Family accepts.
Tonight, we welcome a new brother into our family.
This is what we call a screaming scavenger hunt.
You're saying there's another one of you here? You think they're trying to kill you?
Not me.
A wooden stick whacks Claire into the wall. Then Becky appears.
Becky? What? What's happening?
Alexandria, Virginia.
When we got here, Becky was all invisible and that rod like went through your body, but it's like you're totally fine now. Seriously? I just saw the two of you get attacked by a pack of wild dogs. Oh my God. Those water bottles they gave us? I bet they were drugged.
Yeah, I just saw you two making out. I think you're right. Drugged.
Oh my God!
Let's just keep it between us, though. We don't want the sisters to know that they got to us.
Right. Exactly.
Ashley and her roommate, Olivia, run out together.
See? Problem solved.
I thought our problem was a homicidal invisible girl.
Are you okay?
No. Actually, I'm not okay. Becky just tried to kill me.
A news report transmits in an ambulance where Peter's with a crash victim.
Eyewitnesses report that the two trains collided, causing the eastbound commuter to jump the track.
What happened? I was on the subway and the train.
There was an accident. Train went off the tracks, okay? I need you to do me a favor. I need you to wiggle your toes. Can you do that for me?
No.
They don't move.
How's that?
It's great.
Breathing deeply, Peter glances up at the driver, then down at his gloved hand, which is resting on the man's chest. He massages it slightly, concentrating.
Try for one more time, huh?
This time, his toes do move.
Great. That's perfect. We'll be okay.
The driver opens the back doors.
You all right?
Yeah.
You look exhausted.
Yeah, fine. Come on, let's go.
Now, what do we got?
He's gonna be okay. He's a little shaken, but he's gonna be fine.
That's the fourth patient that wasn't as bad as we thought. But we've got luck on our side today.
He's not over yet.
People, we got more coming in. This day is nearly close.
As they wheel the patient through the crowded hospital, Peter catches the eye of Emma, who's standing looking confused and afraid amidst the activity. She watches Peter as people bustle around her. Then she walks quickly to a side room where she's able to compose herself and where a TV is still reporting the crash. An airport, Los Angeles.
Attention travelers. National security measures at the TSA require you to keep your bags with you.
Matt's in a queue.
Thanks for your cooperation. Tickets and ID, please.
Thank you, Mr. Parkman. Have a safe flight.
He hands the tickets back to Siler. Matt's now beside him.
This is ridiculous. Just give me back my body.
It sucks, doesn't it? Being in the passenger seat of your own life.
Where the hell are we going?
New York?
New York? What for?
The last thing I remember is Peter Petrelli stabbing me in the neck with a syringe. I figured the Italian Eagle Scout should know what happened next. Unless, of course, you want to save us the trouble and just tell me what happened to my body.
It's not gonna happen.
Suit yourself.
At security.
I don't get to fly very often, you know? Especially not first class.
Well, I'm glad my life savings could broaden your horizons.
Matt smiles wryly to himself as Siler dumps a holdall onto the belt and walks confidently through the scanner. The guard spots a pistol in the bag.
Code blue, gate 37. Code blue, this is not a drill.
Hold the line.
What the hell's going on?
Do not move.
We found a gun in your bag.
Ooh, they found a gun in your bag.
What is he talking about?
Who are you talking to?
They throw Sila down.
The socks you thought you were packing this morning? My service revolver.
There is no gun in that bag. You did not find a gun in that bag.
Yes, we did.
You might be able to control my body, but I will never, ever let you control my ability.
Do you hear me? Sock stuff.
This is a mistake. I can explain. I'm a cop. I'm a cop. I can explain. No, I'm a cop. I'm a cop.
Matt looks quietly pleased with himself. Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Chapter 8, Shadow Boxing. An old-style caravan is tucked away in a corner of the carnival. Inside, a man stirs in bed as daylight comes through the window. It's Sila, but as flashes of Nathan come and go and other past moments, his face slowly morphs into Nathan's. Nathan, fully himself now, holds a hand over his closed eyes, frowning, and sits up, looking disorientated and pained. He looks around the caravan, then pulls the covers off and gets out of bed, wearing a t-shirt, boxers, and socks. Nathan catches sight of his reflection and is spurred into action. He pulls on a shirt and trousers, then he steps out of the caravan and walks cautiously through the deserted carnival. He stops and turns when he sees the door of another van open.
I'm sorry, Lydia. Situation's come up. I don't really have a choice in the matter.
Nathan flies away.
Made a bit of a mess. I'm afraid I'm going to have to clean it up.
A bit of a mess? It sounds to me like the Claire Bennett recruitment is a lost cause.
You know me. I'm the patron saint of lost causes.
Gretchen's looking at a photo of Becky on her computer.
This is a lost cause.
No, there's got to be something.
There's nothing. Nothing about Becky Taylor or why she wants me dead.
Or why she killed Annie.
Right. Let's not forget that she already succeeded in killing one of your roommates. Awesome.
I should go to the sorority house. I can go into her room, go through her stuff. I'll find answers there.
What if you find Becky instead? Or what if she's here right now, wanting to kill me? Invisibly.
There are ways to make her visible. Huh?
She puffs talcum powder around the room from a bottle.
See? Nothing.
Gretchen still looks worried.
Maybe I should go with you?
No. No, just stay here. It'll be safer. And don't let anyone in the room until I get back, okay?
She hands her the talcum powder.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
Claire anxiously heads over to the door.
Lock the door.
She smiles reassuringly as she leaves, and Gretchen unhappily puffs a burst of powder into the air. At the hospital, Emma still standing watching the activity around her with a very worried expression. She sees a member of the medical staff bump into a doctor and drop her things, so she goes to help her pick them up.
Thank you.
Now a doctor pushes a gurney past her.
Do you work here? You know how to keep pressure on a wound? Do you know how to keep pressure on a wound? Good. Now do not let up. Can you do that for me? All right. If you see a nurse or a resident, you tell them that she's prepped for a 4-0 proline suture ASAP. Okay? Thank you.
He hurries off, and Emma puts a tentative hand on the pad over the woman's leg wound. Blood trickles out when she lifts it to have a quick look. Then Emma glances anxiously around the busy corridor and sees a surgical stitching pack lying on the floor. She picks it up, opens it with her teeth, and takes the instruments out. Then she's taking the needle out and preparing to stitch the wound when Peter approaches a nearby desk. He turns round and sees Emma working skillfully. Peter watches her for a moment and raises his eyebrows approvingly when she glances up at him.
Now find someone else to help. Pulse is 140, his pressure is dropping. This one's critical. Come on, move it, people. Out of the way.
What's the situation?
Isn't this a little backwards?
Okay, so where's his chart?
We'll check his chart after we save him. What is this, a parade route? Come on, people, don't crowd me. You understand that we are seriously injured because I...
Peter puts his hand over the man's chest and watches as his burnt arm instantly heals. Then the stats on the monitor stabilize.
If an old lady like me can move her ass, I'm sure you can too. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Nice job, guys. Thank you. Watch the glass. Watch the glass.
Claire walks into the sorority house.
Why would I want to be dressed as a pirate?
Because everyone will be dressed as wenches and you won't stand out. And don't worry, you can totally be a slutty pirate.
Ooh. Oh, hey, Claire.
Hey, a little late for party prep, aren't we?
Have you guys seen Becky since she kidnapped us?
Since she what?
Since she kidnapped us. For the scavenger hunt?
Oh, there's gonna be a scavenger hunt?
You guys don't remember anything.
Okay.
The girls walk off bemused, and Claire sees the Haitian come out of a room. Then she turns and sees Noah.
That was fast.
My daughter calls, I drop everything.
A red saloon car pulls over on an empty road in the desert with a punctured rear tire. Sila gets out and angrily slams the door as he strides round to look at it.
I mean, the luck we're having today, huh? Wow, 4.5 hours at the airport, trying to talk your way out of that airport jail, only to still be on the no-fly list. And now this.
How did I not see that huge chunk of metal in the middle of the road?
Maybe I made it so you didn't see it.
He nods, and Sila throws the wrench down. Then he's fixing the flat.
Oh man, I could get used to this. Playing the bad guy, the saboteur.
Do you have any upper body strength at all?
Actually, I'm deceptively strong. Strong enough to stop your ass from getting to New York.
Yeah, I don't think so, Matt. I'm in control.
You sure about that?
A bald man gets out of a tow truck.
You okay, son?
Yeah, I'm fine.
My car, not so much.
Well, there's a trick to loosening the stubborn bolts. Want me to give it a go?
Be my guest. I'd appreciate that, Mr.
Hey, ain't nothing. You hand me that tire iron over there, please?
Sure thing, Hank.
As Sila goes to get the wrench, Matt makes him trip over.
You okay over there? That looked like that could have hurt.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be a long trip to New York.
What? What are you gonna do? You gonna hit me? No.
Hey, Hank.
Yeah.
He hits him with the wrench.
Hey!
Whew. You're right. Deceptively strong.
You just killed him.
No, I didn't. You did.
Matt suddenly looks worried. At the sorority house.
Okay, let's go over the rules.
I'm pretty clear from our phone conversation what the rules are.
Well, recap for me.
We make all the bad stuff go away, like this Becky.
Hand on the floor!
You get to keep all the good stuff, like your new friend Gretchen. Am I right?
Close enough.
I will do my best, Claire, but life isn't always that simple. Let me get inside the room and see what I can find.
That one on the end.
Okay. All right, Claire, why don't you go on back to the dorm, back to your friend.
I'm coming with you, Claire.
What? No. We just went over the rules. Don't you remember what the rules are? You are not supposed to wipe Gretchen's memory.
She must be a really good friend.
Dad, just please.
He's not going to erase Gretchen's memory. He's going with you so that if Becky comes near, she won't be able to stay invisible.
okay?
Oh. That's actually a really good plan.
This is not my first rodeo.
Thanks, Dad.
We'll regroup soon.
Claire watches as Noah goes into the room and shuts the door.
Come on, Renee.
Sila's going through Hank's pockets.
He was helping you.
Exactly. In his death, he has helped me prove a point about the line.
What line?
The one I can cross and you can't. The one that says I can do anything I want, like killing people in cold blood.
No, you can't.
The world is my hostage, Matt. Anybody? Anytime. So no more sabotage, okay? Because I'm the one that's in control here. Do you understand me? I'm sorry. I don't think I hurt you.
Yes. I understand you.
Good.
At the hospital, Peter's leaning against a rack, exhausted, when Emma walks up to him.
Hey. Oh, I'm fine.
She leads him over to some chairs in the corridor and helps him to sit down.
Gabe, too many people need help. And this power keeps draining out of me, and then it comes back, and then it drains out of me again.
Maybe you shouldn't use it anymore.
And be ordinary?
She smiles.
I gotta get back in there.
Peter walks away, but stops and looks back.
You know, they could use your help. Earlier, I saw you with the suture. Where'd you learn how to do that?
Clown College.
Seriously.
Medical school. I dropped out.
She turns, and Peter watches her thoughtfully as she walks away. Claire gets back to her room and finds Gretchen packing a bag.
You're packing? Why are you packing?
Because I'm going home. Maybe forever.
No, you can't do that. I told you that I was gonna handle it.
With what? Baby powder? And that doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
I know. And that's why I called my dad. You're too important to me. I just don't wanna lose you.
The Haitian comes in.
I'm sorry. I already booked my flight.
Wait, you don't understand, okay? This is Renee, and he can keep Becky from being able to turn invisible.
I'm scared for my life, okay?
I know.
Do you? Because Becky's after me. She's not after you because you can't get hurt, but I can.
Gretchen, everything's gonna be fine, okay? My dad and I have done this 1,000 times.
Exactly. This is everyday life for you, but it's not for me. I'm just not like you.
She turns and walks out of the room, past the Haitian, who raises his eyes to look at a tearful Claire.
Stay with her, please, till she gets on the plane.
He leaves, and Claire turns away, upset. Samuel standing in the doorway.
Can I help you?
Possibly. Hopefully. I apologize for this awkward introduction and my even more awkward agenda. My name is Samuel, and I'm here looking for my niece, Rebecca. Becky.
And why would I know where your niece is?
Because she told me who you are. At least a little bit. I know you're special, like her, like me. I know you're asking yourself right about now, who is this guy? What could he possibly know about me?
Yeah, something like that.
I also know it's very hard to trust anyone in this world, being one of us.
So So why should I trust you?
You shouldn't. Not until you hear me out. If you have a moment to listen, I might have some answers for you.
In Becky's room, Noah goes over to a walk-in wardrobe, switches on the light, and steps inside. He looks through her clothes and on the shelf above. In the hallway, pictures hanging on the wall move gently as the air around them is disturbed. Noah finds an old compass. He looks up at the sound of the closing door, puts the compass in his pocket, and pulls out his stun gun, heading back into the room.
I had a partner like you once. As I recall, about 10,000 volts of electricity should make you materialize. And then some. Don't want to have to use this.
Why do I find that hard to believe?
Sila and Matt are sitting in the Burnt Toast Diner, Midland, Texas.
Just you today?
I'm actually hungry enough to eat for two.
If memory serves, the Tahitian pancakes here are really good. And a Coke. A diet Coke.
Oh, I say go for the real thing. Life's too short for artificial sweeteners.
Well, amen to that. Lynette. Regular Coke it is.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so sweet. Isn't Lynette so sweet? Funny story. I tried to kill a waitress here once.
You can't kill her.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you miss my whole the world is my hostage bit earlier?
No, I got it. I got it. I've done nothing. And I've kept quiet.
And now, I want you to talk. Hostages are used to get things that you want, and I want to know everything. Exactly how I ended up in your head and where the hell my body is.
No.
Sila watches Lynette go out the back.
It's nice and isolated back there. Nobody'd ever hear her scream.
Come on.
Sila stands up and, carrying the open knife, walks through the cafe towards the door Lynette left through.
Stop! Please! Come on, stop it.
Okay, fine. Just tell me what I want to know. Your choice. Your life is in your hands.
Lynette comes back out.
Do you need something, sweetheart?
As a matter of fact, I do. All right, fine, fine. I will tell you anything you want to know.
Sila takes a straw from her.
Thank you very much.
Matt sighs with relief. In Claire's room.
So you can move the earth?
Something like that. We're all like you, a family of sorts, people with extraordinary abilities. Rebecca came to us when she was still very young.
So she's not really your niece?
A family is more than blood. It's about trust, about love, about those who embrace you, the real you, unconditionally.
Becky pushed my roommate out the window. Do you embrace that?
No, of course not. But Rebecca's complicated. Her father was murdered when she was just 5 years old.
Okay, but how is that my fault?
It's not. You're not the one she's after.
It's all about you.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
You don't remember me at all? Well, I guess you wouldn't. You never saw me. But I remember you. I was 5 when you came to my house. When you tried to take me and my dad away. He told me to stay out of sight. I had never seen him so scared.
In flashback, a younger Noah bursts into the room. The air shimmers and he fires at it.
And then in came my dad.
Shooting first, asking questions later.
Well, I'm sure he had a good reason.
The reason is we were different. Potentially dangerous. Your father needed neither warrant nor probable cause, not for people like us. Life is more complicated.
I hid under the bed and I wished that you wouldn't find me.
Noah lifts the mattress, but she's not there.
And my wish came true. You didn't see me.
Your ability manifested.
I kept making wishes that whole night had never happened, for my dad to come back. I have spent my entire life wondering why I could make a wish and save myself, but not him.
I thought perhaps Becky had moved past it, but...
She came to get revenge on him.
Through you.
And then when I found out that you had a daughter, I stopped making wishes and I made a promise. I'm gonna take away all of the dreams that you had for her, just like you did to me.
I'm sorry about your father. I take responsibility for that. But you're not going to hurt my daughter.
I'm gonna hurt you both.
Noah raises his stun gun.
Becky, I picked up your costume. Hi. What are you doing in here?
Just, looking for someone. I guess she's gone. Excuse me.
He calmly walks out.
I am truly sorry for what happened to your roommate. Both of them. But it was good of you to send the other away.
I didn't send her away. She left.
Well, it's a slanted perspective to see the extraordinary through ordinary eyes. Fear is easier than understanding.
So how do you deal with it?
By not having to deal with it. I simply surrounded myself with people who, by definition, are like me. It's a whole lot easier for someone like you to understand you. Which is why I came to you and not your father. We both know exactly what he would do in this situation.
Noah comes in.
No, tell me. What would Bennett do?
The two men stare at each other.
I don't mean you any harm, I swear.
He said he was Becky's uncle.
You were stalling. You kept me talking.
You seem to like to talk. You actually think that I would trust you over my dad?
I just ran into your niece. She's, not all there, is she?
Rebecca's a very disturbed girl. But in all fairness, you had a hand in that. A responsibility.
Noah lowers his gun.
Okay, let's talk responsibility. What do you know about this?
He throws him the compass.
What is that?
Every time I see that compass, it comes with a dead body. First was Danko's.
Agent Danko killed my brother. He started all this. We didn't want any bloodshed.
Well, you forgot to tell that to your knife-wielding friend who sliced my guts open.
In the wrong hands, this compass could mean trouble for my family. We just need to stay hidden.
From who?
Well, for starters, you. No offense, sir, but you have a reputation for scorching earth to get to people like me. Please, I just need to find Rebecca and get her some help.
And I want some answers.
He levels his gun at Samuel again. At the hospital, Emma, who's still looking anxious, walks into a side room and finds a young girl unconscious on the floor.
Help! Somebody help!
Peter hears her and rushes in.
She's not breathing.
Let's get her to the ER.
No time. It's a pneumothorax. I can do this. The economy kit.
Peter grabs it.
Take over.
He carries on with the chest compressions while Emma daubs the girl's stomach, then takes a very large syringe and injects her. Peter checks the girl's pulse and her eyes open.
Hey. Hey, sweetheart. You're gonna be okay, all right? You're gonna be okay. You did it.
Emma smiles, then frowns, upset again. Noah's handcuffing Samuel in a car park while Claire watches.
You really should watch how you treat us in front of your daughter. After all, she's like me.
You really ought to watch what you say to my daughter.
Don't blame your father.
He really doesn't understand us.
Get in the car.
Suddenly, Claire's pushed to the ground and the door slams on Noah.
Becca, no!
It's Samuel who fires the stun gun into Becky, who materializes and collapses. He runs over to her.
No, come on.
Dad, don't!
Look out!
Noah pushes Claire to the ground as he aims his gun at Samuel and Becky.
Dad, no!
He looks down at her, then slowly lowers it again. Samuel and Becky run off, and Noah helps Claire up.
I'm so sorry. You all right? I'm sorry.
Claire looks at him with confused anger, then walks away. In the burnt toast diner.
Okay, here's the truth.
After Peter took you down, I pushed Nathan's memories into your mind. I made your body think that it was him. Your shape-shifting took care of the rest. I had never done this before. I thought that I was pushing all of Siler out of that body. I had no idea that all of it would stay with me.
Well, that's just crazy.
Just the check, please, Lynette. Thank you.
Clearly you didn't decide to do this on your own. Who else was involved? Mama Petrelli, right? Who else?
Bennett. Everyone else thinks you're dead.
I was off to see the wrong brother. I gotta go find Nathan. Get my body back.
And then what are you gonna do?
Then I'm gonna kill every single person even remotely involved.
Siler walks out. While they were talking, he'd been doodling on a scrap of paper, which he threw on his plate as Lynette cleared it away. He leaves her looking at it and talking to the cook, who's on the phone. Amongst the doodles is the message, "I have a gun, and I'm going to kill everyone in here." Outside, Matt and Siler are surrounded by police cars and armed officers.
You should really pay more attention to what you're doodling on a napkin.
Police, freeze!
What the hell are you doing?
Crossing that line. You told me that I'm not man enough to take a life. Well, you know what? You're wrong. Because I'm gonna take yours.
You're an idiot. You'll die with me.
Yeah. I know.
Concentrating, Matt slowly reaches into his inside pocket, which forces Siler to do the same, then whips his hand out again. Siler is shot full of bullets and drops to his knees, blood oozing from the wounds. Matt watches and slowly fades away. The officers carefully approach Siler, who's sprawled on the ground. Back at the sorority house, Claire and Noah walk slowly along the corridor to her room. She unlocks the door.
I'm sorry I pushed you.
It's okay, I don't bruise easy.
No, you don't, do you?
Claire goes inside and looks at Gretchen's bed.
Hey. You're amazing. You know that?
I think you mean extraordinary.
I want you to have everything. You deserve it. The social life, the education, the white picket fence, all of it.
Well, as you said, sometimes life just isn't that simple. Good night.
She reaches up and he kisses her cheek.
Night, Claire Bear.
Claire shuts the door, and Noah remains standing outside it. She leans with her back to it on the other side. Emma's sitting at a piano in the hospital, and as she presses the keys, thin wisps of coloured light float towards her like strands of smoke. Peter walks past and sees her. He waves through the glass, then goes into the room. He sits next to her on the stool and notices a photo of a young boy.
Who's that?
My nephew, Christopher.
Emma looks at him sadly.
He drowned. I was babysitting, and I got distracted for a moment. I didn't hear him. I tried to revive him. It was right before my second year of residency.
That's why he dropped out.
She nods.
Yeah.
As Emma continues to play, Peter picks his bag up and opens it. He takes out a silver tiara.
Megan wanted you to have that. She said it's only for very special people.
She smiles and nods emotionally, then puts it on the piano.
Special. I couldn't save him.
But you saved her.
This time, Peter nods and smiles. When he looks away, she leans forward to get his attention.
You saved me. Thank you.
Are you gonna go back to school? Go be a doctor?
She shrugs.
Can you see the colors?
No, I don't have that power anymore. But we could still play, if you like.
As the colors flare, Peter picks the tiara up and puts it on Emma's head. She smiles. In an ambulance.
Sicily, Sicily. All right, 360.
Matt's body is being treated.
Clear.
He doesn't respond. Claire's lying awake on her bed in the darkness. She turns over to look at Gretchen's bed on the other side of the room. At home, Emma takes her doctor's coat out of the wardrobe and unzips the protective cover. She looks at her name embroidered over the pocket, Dr. Emma Coolidge, and nods decisively. At the carnival.
I'm sorry I had to do that to you.
I'm sorry that I messed things up with Claire. I just got impatient, sloppy.
Don't worry. Might not have been the plan as conceived, but I think Claire Bennett's right where we want her to be. Look, when I ask you to do this, I promised you revenge. And you'll still have it.
They both smile.
We have a problem. A big problem.
What?
Siler, he's gone.
Alarmed, Samuel looks over to the caravan that Nathan woke up in. Noah's at home, looking at cuttings stuck to his wall. He goes to his desk and writes something, then takes it to the wall and sticks up a newspaper clipping entitled New York Mansion Destroyed by Sinkhole, with the name Samuel scrawled across the text. Peter's at home clearing his wall of cuttings and looks at one story headlined Hero Paramedic Saves Family of Four. He checks through the spy hole before opening the door.
Nathan, what are you... What? Whoa.
What are you doing? What's going on?
I think I'm in trouble, Pete.
To be continued.